The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we begin the second hour of the National Intel Report. Today's date is December 3rd, 2019. And we are going to go right back to the phones. I've got two calls, and then I'm going to start playing this clip here and get your feedback on it. It's some great stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's go back to the phones here. Sheldon in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, I just walked in, Steve. Last night's program, Vinny didn't hear you, but you said you knew that Epstein was still alive. And you may have already touched on that, and I missed it, but could you tell me how you know this?
Wait a minute. Who was still alive? Oh, Epstein.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sheldon, it's putting the pieces of the puzzle together of all the non-probable possibilities that have happened. You know, you had cameras that didn't work. That's purposeful. You had guards who didn't do their guard duty. They didn't do their bed checks. They forged their documents saying they did do the bed checks. Everything possibly that could have gone wrong, all went wrong. And that could only come about from something that was planned. I don't even believe that was him. I think possibly what they found was they could have found somebody look-alike. You know, Hillary Clinton had a look-alike. It's pretty easy to find a guy that looks like Epstein. I can walk into a homeless camp and find somebody who looks like Epstein. I guarantee you I can. So you simply
That's
bring him in, you do
did.
A body, you do a switch, and you kill this guy. And who's going to miss him anyway? He's homeless, right?
Right, and they aren't going to do it.
He looks like Epstein. He's homeless. They kill him. Who's going to be looking for the guy?
Right, right.
Epstein's alive.
Okay, then your supposition is as good as mine is. I was just putting the pieces together, too. I thought you had maybe somebody had a shot of him in Venezuela or something.
No. He's going to be changing his identity a little bit. He's going to change his looks a little bit. He's never going to surface again. It's just that everything that fell in line, everything that could have gone wrong, did go wrong, and that was purposeful. That was well planned out, and actually I theorized that was going to happen. Now, he's not stupid. He had several dead man switches, and you know what a dead man switch is, right?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. He's smart enough. If he's smart enough to blackmail, he's also smart enough to have several dead man switches. They don't want him dead because the dead man switch could come forward. He may have had 6 or 10 of them, possibly with the envelope of all those names. Now, we know who some of the people were that participated at Orgy Island. We know Bill Clinton's name was on there. We know some British royalty was there. There was a lot of prominent people on there. And this is very embarrassing to government. This is very embarrassing to the British people, the government. They don't want this to be known. So this is a hush-hush. If the person of question dies or is killed, the investigation ends. It's closed. There are 2,000 pages in documents on this investigation that we should be able to see that you will never see because that opens up the can of worms again. This is never going to happen. They have to kill the investigation, so they forge, they do all the right things here, basically stage the death of Jeffrey Epstein out of sight, out of mind. He's dead. It's over. We never talk about it again. We'll never know the truth. We'll never know how deep this thing goes. It's over.
You don't think there might be a stone or two that wasn't left unturned so that this could be like the third, like the lone gunman in about another couple decades?
Nope, it's controlled by the rogue intelligence agencies, just like what's going on right now, going after Donald Trump. The rogue intelligence agencies, you know, they just look at JFK. They've sealed the documents for another 75 years. Why is that?
Yeah, I know.
That makes no sense. Insane. If there's nothing to hide, why are you sealing documents so we can't know the truth? There you go.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. You got it. I'm going to go back to the phones here. John in Missouri, you're on the show.
Hi there. Hey, you, a little bit ago you just said we have laws and we're not obeying them and we have constitutions. Most of us do obey the laws. The only people that aren't obeying the laws are our governors, our
politicians. And the judges.
Yeah, those people. They're the ones that's not obeying the laws. The people are obeying the laws.
Yeah.
It's not going to change until we take our government back.
Exactly.
And they're not
going
to give it back easy.
No,
I guess
not.
I'm preaching to the choir here. I understand that. But until the American public throws those people out, and it'll probably have to be physically, nothing's going to change.
I think you're right. I think it's going to come down to that, actually. We need twice the amount of moxie that the Democrats have. If you've seen how these people are so vicious, and I hate to think of myself as a vicious kind of person, but I do have a boiling point, and I do have a tolerance that if I go over that, hey, Betty, watch out. And that's exactly where we need to be going in the future here. I think it's going to happen. I think there needs to be a movement of saying, you know, no more. It's over. We're going to take back this government. We're going to chase the thieves out, and we are going to clean house. Certainly, we definitely need to clean house. Congress is dirty, and I'm not pointing fingers at just the Democrats. The Republicans are filthy also. They're criminals.
They're
crooked. Yeah. Well, hey, there was somebody who mentioned. I got a quote just the other day. It says, "Why are they concerned about a billionaire who decides to become a public servant? Shouldn't we be focused on the public servant who later on serves the public and becomes a millionaire?"
Well, they
you know,
all
if you
come
do
in
the
with
math,
thousands,
understand what a
millions.
Politician makes. Why are these politicians getting out of office and becoming millionaires? They only make $170,000 a year. How's
Steve,
that possible?
I'll
tell you right here in Florida, Rick Scott, it came out. How many years was he in government here? 6-7 years or something. Maybe more than that. But he had a net income, a net wealth of $40 million. He didn't come in office 6 years ago with $40 million or anything near that. So how did he make all this money? Nobody wants to address
that. It's good to be king.
Yeah, yeah.
But this needs to start at the local levels, because all these people that wind up in D.C., they all started in our counties and in our state house. You know, when we march to Washington with our torches and pitchforks, stop at your state capitol and get them first. Thank you very much, Steve.
You got it. You know, John, I used to say that all these politicians started off in your local schools, high school. They wanted to be part of your student council. They wanted to rule over the students in school, and then later on to say, this is pretty good stuff. I like the power. And you mean I can go in local government and make money, and I can rule over local government and people? Yeah, okay. And then after that, get a little tired of that, and the money gets a little bit bigger. Let's go to the state side here, and let's go to the federal level here. It's a gravy train, and they know it, because a politician that is not reelected ends up becoming a lobbyist. And that's a fact, because they know how much dirty money and how it greases the channels here to get things done. It is so dirty, politics in this country. It is filthy.
Well,
hey, thanks for your call, John. Appreciate
it, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I think we may have to cut this break, Michael, but let's play this clip here. Cheryl Atkinson, let me give you a little up on it. She was a CBS newscaster, reporter, investigative reporter. And she went on a little circuit here, I think for a book tour or something, talking about what's going on in the mainstream media and the brainwashing that's going on, and they are doing a lot of brainwashing. Now, you remember a clip I played a while back? It said, some of the talking heads said, it's our job to control what you think, and that is exactly what they do think. And I theorized long ago when Ted Turner put together his CNN, I call it CVN now, the Veritas would be the middle network there. But the point being is that a 24/7 news organization has the possibility, the strong possibility of being more of a disinformation service than an information service. So rinse and repeat, repeat it over and over and over again. In the morning and in the evening, you'll be able to sing it, as they used to say, my mother used to say. So, Michael, go ahead and play that clip with Cheryl Atkinson talking about how brainwashing really works.
So, consider this fictitious example that's inspired by real life. Say you're watching the news and you see a story about a new study on the cholesterol-lowering drug called Cholextra. The study says Cholextra is so effective that doctors should consider prescribing it to adults and even children who don't yet have high cholesterol. Is it too good to be true? You're smart, you decide to do some of your own research. You do a Google search, you consult social media, Facebook and Twitter, you look at Wikipedia, WebMD, a nonprofit website, and you read the original study in a peer-reviewed published medical journal. It all confirms how effective Cholextra is. You do run across a few negative comments and a potential link to cancer, but you dismiss that because medical experts call the cancer link a myth and say that those who think there is a link there are quacks and cranks and nuts. Finally, you learn that your own doctor recently attended a medical seminar. The lecture that he attended confirmed how effective Cholextra is, so he sends you off with some free samples and a prescription. You've really done your homework. But what if all isn't as it seems? What if the reality you found was false? A carefully constructed narrative by unseen special interests designed to manipulate your opinion. A Truman Show-esque alternate reality all around you. Complacency in the news media combined with incredibly powerful propaganda and publicity forces mean we sometimes get little of the truth. Special interests have unlimited time and money to figure out new ways to spin us while cloaking their role. Surreptitious astroturf methods are now more important to these interests than traditional lobbying of Congress. There's an entire industry built around it in Washington. What is astroturf? It's a perversion of grassroots, as in fake grassroots. AstroTurf is when political, corporate, or other special interests disguise themselves and publish blogs, start Facebook and Twitter accounts, publish ads, letters to the editor, or simply post comments online to try to fool you into thinking an independent or grassroots movement is speaking. The whole point of AstroTurf is to try to give the impression there's widespread support for or against an agenda when there's not. AstroTurf seeks to manipulate you into changing your opinion by making you feel as if you're an outlier when you're not. One example is the Washington Redskins name. Without taking a position on the controversy, if you simply were looking at news media coverage over the course of the past year or looking at social media, you'd probably have to conclude that most Americans find that name offensive and think it ought to be changed. But what if I told you 71% of Americans say the name should not be changed? That's more than two-thirds. AstroTurfers seek to controversialize those who disagree with them. They attack news organizations that publish stories they don't like, whistleblowers who tell the truth, politicians who dare to ask the tough questions, and journalists who have the audacity to report on all of it. Sometimes AstroTurfers simply shove intentionally so much confusing and conflicting information into the mix that you're left to throw up your hands and disregard all of it, including the truth. Drown out a link between a medicine and a harmful side effect, say vaccines and autism, by throwing a bunch of conflicting paid-for studies, surveys, and experts into the mix, confusing the truth beyond recognition. And then there's Wikipedia. AstroTurf's dream come true. Billed as the free encyclopedia that anyone can edit, the reality can't be more different. Anonymous Wikipedia editors control and co-opt pages on behalf of special interests. They forbid and reverse edits that go against their agenda. They skew and delete information in blatant violation of Wikipedia's own established policies with impunity, always superior to the poor schlubs who actually believe anyone can edit Wikipedia, only to discover they're barred from correcting even the simplest factual inaccuracies. Try adding a footnoted fact or correcting a fact error on one of these monitored Wikipedia pages and poof, sometimes within a matter of seconds, you'll find your edit is reversed. In 2012, famed author Philip Roth tried to correct a major fact error about the inspiration behind one of his book characters cited on a Wikipedia page. But no matter how hard he tried, Wikipedia's editors wouldn't allow it. They kept reverting the edits back to the false information. When Roth finally reached a person at Wikipedia, which was no easy task, and tried to find out what was going wrong, they told him he simply was not considered a credible source on himself. A few weeks later, there was a huge scandal when Wikipedia officials got caught offering a PR service that skewed and edited information on behalf of paid, publicity-seeking clients in utter opposition to Wikipedia's supposed policies. All of this may be why, when a medical study looked at medical conditions described on Wikipedia pages and compared it to actual peer-reviewed published research, Wikipedia contradicted medical research 90% of the time. You may never fully trust what you read on Wikipedia again, nor should you. Let's now go back to that fictitious Calextra example and all the research you did. It turns out the Facebook and Twitter accounts you found that were so positive were actually written by paid professionals hired by the drug company to promote the drug. The Wikipedia page had been monitored by an agenda editor also paid by the drug company. The drug company also arranged to optimize Google search engine results, so it was no accident that you stumbled across that positive nonprofit that had all those positive comments. The nonprofit was, of course, secretly founded and funded by the drug company. The drug company also financed that positive study and used its power of editorial control to omit any mention of cancer as a possible side effect. Once more, each and every doctor who publicly touted Calextra or called the cancer link a myth or ridiculed critics as paranoid cranks and quacks or served on the government advisory board that approved the drug, each of those doctors is actually a paid consultant for the drug company. As for your own doctor, the medical lecture he attended that had all those positive evaluations was, in fact, like many continuing medical education classes, sponsored by the drug company. And when the news reported on that positive study, it didn't mention any of that. I have tons of personal examples from real life. A couple of years ago, CBS News asked me to look into a story about a study coming out from the nonprofit National Sleep Foundation. Supposedly, this press release coming out said, "The study concluded we are a nation with an epidemic of sleeplessness and we don't even know it, and we should all go ask our doctors about it." A couple of things struck me about that. First, I recognized the phrase, "ask your doctor," as a catchphrase promoted by the pharmaceutical industry. They know that if they can get your foot through the door of the doctor's office to mention a malady, you're very likely to be prescribed the latest drug that's marketed. Second, I wondered how serious an epidemic of sleeplessness could really be if we don't even know that we have it. Right? It didn't take long for me to do a little research and discover that the National Sleep Foundation nonprofit and the study, which was actually a survey, not a study, were sponsored in part by a new drug that was about to be launched onto the market called Lunesta, a sleeping pill. I reported the study as CBS News asked, but of course I disclosed the sponsorship behind the nonprofit and the survey so that viewers could weigh the information accordingly. All the other news media reported the same survey directly off the press release as written without digging past the superficial. It later became an example written up in the Columbia Journalism Review, which quite accurately reported that only we at CBS News had bothered to do a little bit of research and disclose the conflict of interest behind this widely reported survey. So now you may be thinking, what can I do? I thought I'd done my research. What chance do I have separating fact from fiction, especially if seasoned journalists with years of experience can be so easily fooled? Well, I have a few strategies that I can tell you about to help you recognize signs of propaganda and astroturf. Once you start to know what to look for, you'll begin to recognize it everywhere. First, hallmarks of astroturf include use of inflammatory language such as crank, quack, nutty, lies, paranoid, pseudo, and conspiracy. AstroTurfers often claim to debunk myths that aren't myths at all. Use of the charged language tests well. People hear something's a myth, maybe they find it on Snopes, and they instantly declare themselves too smart to fall for it. But what if the whole notion of the myth is itself a myth, and you and Snopes fell for that? Beware when interests attack an issue by controversializing or attacking the people, personalities, and organizations surrounding it rather than addressing the facts. That could be AstroTurf. And most of all, AstroTurfers tend to reserve all of their public skepticism for those exposing wrongdoing rather than the wrongdoers. In other words, instead of questioning authority, they question those who question authority. You might start to see things a little more clearly. It's kind of like taking off your glasses and wiping them and putting them back on and realizing for the first time how foggy they'd been all along. I can't resolve these issues, but I hope that I've given you some information that will at least motivate you to take off your glasses and wipe them and become a wiser consumer of information in an increasingly artificial, paid-for reality. Thank you.
Well, there's some new terms I didn't know about until I watched this video a couple times. AstroTurf, fake grassroots, setting the stage here to be an authority, to fool you into believing their agenda. So that's on the website, RBN website. You want to share that with others, look it over and read the article and share that video with others in your group there. It's a good video to share. I'm glad she did mention the Wikipedia because I agree with that 100%. It is a dream come true for those who support and work to use AstroTurf to change your viewpoints. It's a disservice. It turns out most of the time I find lots of stuff like that. I noticed that Snopes is also a disservice. Snopes started off at one time being credible. I thought it was a pretty good website to find information, and somewhere along the way it became AstroTurf Snopes. So don't trust it. Daily Mail. I'm scratching my head these days on Daily Mail. I'm thinking Daily Mail is going down the same road as Snopes these days. So I'm kind of pushing away from that and finding other sources to get for my information. Lou Rockwell is always pretty good. There's a couple out there. You have to search really hard to find the true information. You know, that's a job that has to be done, unfortunately. I wish it was easy. You could just flip the switch on. But we do have the corporations, mainstream media, all owned. You know, six corporations own all of it. And so the only one that halfway resembles anything, the only one halfway resembles any sort of truth, a smidgen, and I'm saying just a smidgen, would probably be Fox, unfortunately. That's it. Tucker Carlson, so far, so good. There's areas he won't go into. You know that. And he knows who he writes his checks. He knows that. So he's not going to go in a certain direction. You know, he's not going to go across the water, if you know what I'm talking about, to go against anybody. And he knows he writes his checks. So he stops short when it comes to that. So, So much. Well, let's get into a little bit of politics here. We lost another one. No big loss here. Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris. I don't know. Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Let's call the whole thing off. She's out. She's gone. She's history. Beto O'Rourke was about a week or two ago. He's gone. Our Latino leprechaun, Irishman. I'll have a pint on that one. Oh, dang right. Gone. Our socialist wannabe president is history. So a few more to go. I wonder if anybody could check on this for me. I'm not a big gambler. I never really have. I've actually never really gambled. I work hard, and I don't believe in going to play the game of chance to win money at a casino. It's always rigged, favoring the house, and I know that. So I'm not a sucker. I'm not going to fall for this. You know, you let one guy win, and everybody floods over there, and I'm going to win next, you know. It's rigged. It's not going to happen. And I have all my teeth, and I don't live in a mobile home, so it's pretty impossible for me to win a lottery or anything. Those people are the only ones that, you know, Ed McMahon would knock on the door and say, hey, you just won the sweepstakes here, you know. And so much money for the rest of your life, and that's great. But you know, it's never going to happen. I look out there, and no, the guy's never shown. He's dead now. But the point is, I don't fit the bill. I just can't seem to win in those things, so I don't participate. But I assume there must be some kind of betting line on the Democrats. Who's going to leave next as far as the 2020 race? Beto O'Rourke's out. Harris is out. I'm waiting for Buttigieg. And I'm laughing because the mainstream media refuses to call him Buttigieg. It's Pete Buttigieg. He has become a judge. I did not know that. I'm pretty good with the English language, and I see G-I-E-G, and I see gig, or gig, and I don't know how they're getting judge. He's been corrected. He's corrected them. Evidently, he likes judge better than gig. So I don't know. I don't think he's going to go too far. Wouldn't be surprised if he's next. But you've got at least 23 more losers out there for the Democrat Party, all pretty much saying the same thing, all socialists wanting to give away this and that, give away the store, and then, of course, you know, the store closes because you just can't give away the store. But we'll see who's next. Like I said, right now, it's a cakewalk unless Donald Trump totally screws up something really, really bad. It's a cakewalk back into 2020. We know the whole hearsay hearings is a sham. Tom from Florida mentioned that. It is. It is quite the embarrassment. You know, an impeachment on, well, we think, we believe, and presumably. New words this week, last week, presumably. Presumably, which is suggestive, which is speculation, which is leading to some accountability of credibility, of validity. Presumably, that would be the case. Well, that's speculation, and it has no business in a court proceeding whatsoever or any kind of hearing. It's speculation. That's all it is. We got accusations. We got allegations. We got people saying, oh, he nodded. He put his head down. He winked. He nodded. He scratched his nose. Little key signals to tell you what he really means. And, yeah, that's true when it comes down to mafia and hitmen. They don't come right out and say, I'm going to whack this guy. You know, they leave you a look and they just give that little sign, a little scratch. Yeah, that's the scratch for take this guy out. That's the way it is. But this will soon be over. It will definitely it'll make it over to the Senate. I don't think the Senate is even going to look at it. They're going to say, House, this is so political. We know what you're doing. We know that you have to impeach him. If we don't impeach him, he will be elected. He's going to be elected anyway. And all you're going to do is have egg on your face for the second time. You think you had enough egg from the Robert Mueller hearing here and his deposition and his report saying there was no Russian collusion. But you hear Chuck Todd, I call him Chuck Tard, from CNN, still talking Russian collusion. The Russians, they meddled. They interfered with our election, and we're working for Donald Trump. Well, no, Chuck Tard, they have not done these things. It's just the wishing and hoping and praying that somehow, if you keep saying it over and over again, it's going to become truth. These people are truly, truly suffering from TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. And if I were to diagnose it, I would say, what stage is it in? I'd say it's in stage 4, like a cancer. They're consumed with this TDS. They hate this man so much, it is consuming them. Now, Tom mentioned about the word hate. What a terrible word the word hate is. It really is consuming, doesn't it? If you hate something, you really take it internally in. And it really is defeating yourself. It is deteriorating your body to hate. The second worst word, profane word, is kill. K-I-L-L. I'll take the F word any day over somebody saying kill. Kill is serious. The F word, here and gone. Doesn't hurt me one bit. We'll be right back. This is the National Insider Report. No reason to get
excited. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Lord, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's been too dark to see. Felt like knocking on heaven's door.
And we're back. You know, would I be insensitive and callous if I played bumper music to celebrate Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris bowing out from the 2020 election year by playing Queen's Another One Bites the Dust? Would that have been a terrible, bad thing to do? Nah, I don't think so. Well, I'm laughing. Like I said, if anybody has any kind of betting line here, can find out through Vegas. I would like to know, because they bet about everything out there, and I'd like to know if there are actually some betting lines on who's leaving, and who's coming into the race. And I keep seeing these articles of Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's being pushed by many to enter the race. Really, really, I keep reading these articles, and it's funny that omitted from the article itself is, who are those many? Can you tell us who they are, Hillary? Who are those many you're talking about? Is it less than 10? Is it more than 10? Are they politicians? Are they millionaires? Are they billionaires? Is it Jeffrey Epstein? I'm sorry, I forgot. Oh, he's not dead. I forgot. He's still around. But, you know, I'd like to know who these many, many people that are pushing her to come back into the race. You know, I look at Hillary Rodham Clinton, and I have to laugh. Hillary Rodham Clinton and the Titanic have much in common. They really do. They both sank. They will never rise to the top again, and they will never sail again. She's a dead horse at the gate. She would drop dead at the gate. She will never come back. If it wasn't for the overwhelming support and people in the Republican Party to go to the polls to vote, she would have won through the fraud. Now, I'm not a big voter. You know how I feel about voting. It's a scam. It's fraud. It's built with fraud in mind. The whole system needs to be taken down, rebuilt, go back to the paper ballot. I'm fine with that. But if we had not gone in the droves, the masses, we would have had Hillary probably for president. And, you know, just look at the Obama and election with the ghost McCain there, John McCain. If John McCain had not spouted off and said bomb, bomb, bomb Iran and talk about going into Iran and starting war on another country, he may have won. Possible. That sealed his fate. People are tired of war. They don't want war. And so saying making that stupid comment cost him the presidency, no doubt about it. But it needs to be dismantled, rebuilt, made fair and square. And when it is that, just that, I will participate again. I will not participate and waste my time with fraud. All right, I'm going to go back to the phone here, actually to the system I'm on here. And I think Sasquatch is out there. Is that Sasquatch from Montana?
Yes,
I'm here. Out there?
I'm here.
Okay. I hear you. Or I do it. No. Let's see.
There you go. I want to comment on something you'd said earlier.
All right.
There's a good website. Actually, it's listed there on a website there, the World Socialists. But anyway, they broke down the Democratic Party. Out of everyone running for the Democrats, every one of them was linked to the CIA. And this is the notorious firm who has got exemption through all of its war crimes and stuff on the indigenous people around the world. But, yeah. You know, Steve, I don't care how people look at it, but what they've done to the Third World, they're now doing to America.
Right.
And that's the honest to God fact. I mean, they've destroyed the unions here, destroyed any labor reform, any civil rights movement, any peace movement or anti-war.
Mm-hmm. Anti-war, right.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is it. And the only form of what they call democracy now is if you vote or go along with the system, or as Noam Chomsky would say, that manufacturing consent. They present a deal to you, whether it's like with Syria and the alleged chemical weapons, which has now been shown through two insiders through the OPCW there, that it was all a fictitious lie. And, of course, 60 Tomahawk missiles were launched, $2 million apiece. And you have to think of the amount of damage that goes into those countries. And as you were talking about earlier about your grandmother, I believe it was your grandmother. But anyway,
my mom.
The fact that your mom. The fact that other people have to feel the brunt of this unbridled aggression against other nations, and then they wonder or they feel indignant that some country would chant death to America. And we see that right now with Iran. Iran wants reparations for the over $1 billion that the U.S. has caused in these recent riots over there. We see Bolivia, Chile, all these countries. And now, sadly to say again, the administration is going after Nicaragua again.
Yep.
And these countries have done nothing to America. But what it does do is causes mass immigration because of people fleeing those fascist dictators that the United States installs. Right. And they try to go someplace to where they can live with a working wage. Most areas, and I had this on my show here a couple Sundays ago here, there's over 257 million people in Southern America or South America down there that work for anywhere from $5 to $1.90 a day. And you can't support your family on that, especially if you as a peasant have had your land stolen for these big corporations to go in there and level off the forest and put their cattle farms in. They're United Fruit Companies and such and such like that, Dole, and want to pay slave labor and then have the CIA destroy all the unions and any wage reform. So this is what's causing immigration. And sadly, as Trump said, corporations need immigrants.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I know what you're saying here. the great destabilizing of the world. And the United States is really king at that. They're really good at that. Their MO is, they've been doing it for an awful long time. And you're right. You're absolutely correct about the unions. I think union representation now is, I think it's down to around 9%. Yeah, these situations are all created with greed in mind. The corporations, no doubt about it, big time fascism. And government and corporate are aligned on the same page with this whole corporate fascism deal going on here. I don't know the solution. What's the solution on this, Keith? What is the solution on this? Corporations, greedy corporations, are not going to give up their profits. They are not going to give up their profits. This whole thing of trying to bring back manufacturing to the United States, it sounded great. It sounded great as a campaign trail promise. I said from the very beginning it wasn't going to happen. First of all, you got a problem with the consumer themselves. They are addicted. Consumers are addicted to low, low prices. They are not going to pay more than they have to. The Walmarts know this. So, you know, this outsourcing of labor and manufacturing to these other third world countries to make the product at pennies on the dollar or whatever they're making for wages, and then shipping it back and keeping that profit margin really, really high, they're not going to give that up. They're not going to let the unions come back in and dictate to them what the union wages will be, the benefits will be. That will never happen again. You're right. The goal is to eliminate all these groups. They are flat out going to eliminate all these groups. We're going to be a one world government. We're going to be a republic still, but probably more of a banana republic unless we stop these people.
Well, you already see it. I mean, with people crapping the streets, tent cities that can be seen from space. You know, it's like these sweatshops overseas. Again, these people, and this is well documented too. People making $39 a month pumping out these Nike shoes that cost $200 a piece. And, of course, Americans are dumb enough to buy these things. And, of course, they don't realize who has to do the work. Same thing with those people that work for Apple with these iPhones and iTablets and stuff. You know, they're paid dirt cheap wages like that, you know. And you pay top dollar, $1,000-some a phone and stuff, you know. It's a country now that's based on consumerism. And the only way to, as you mentioned, the only way to curtail this is to find a way to break these big corporations, which have taken over.
Yeah. You know, Keith, I'll share a funny story. You're talking about these knockoff tennis shoes and $200, and they sell them for $200, and they're made for nothing. You know, the profit margin is so huge. When I was a kid, you know, every kid wanted a pair of Levi Strauss blue jeans, and you were cool if you had blue jeans, and you were cool if you had Converse tennis shoes, the old Converse tennis shoes. And my mom was, you know, kind of watching the buck here, you know, expenses, kids and stuff. And my mom brings home these Converse tennis shoes, and it had a little star on the back of the shoe itself. It said Converse, but there was no rubber to be found in this tennis shoe. It was like pure plastic. I think you could actually bend it and probably break. And I remember when I'd be playing basketball and I'd slide and I keep sliding and sliding. And my knockoff Converse tennis shoes, and I thought, damn, mom, can't you buy me a real pair of Converse tennis shoes? And I got ragged about it. And, are those Converse? Well, it says Converse. I mean, there were some cheap Chinese knockoff Converse with just a little sticker saying Converse, but they were truly embarrassing. that was my youth.
Well, it's like Boeing. Boeing's privately funded there, but when Boeing sold out and went to China, China started building their jets. But in the agreement with China, Boeing gave them proprietary software rights as well as to their contract plans and stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is how it is. It's the corporate sellout of America. And sadly, it's those politicians from both parties that have allowed this stuff, and it hasn't happened overnight. It's been for decades. Anyway, you got a caller in Alabama there, so I'm going to pop out of here. But I just want to jump in there and say that about the Democrats. And then we see all those that are related to the Council on Foreign Relations. We have a government that's been totally usurped.
Yeah.
Anyway, my best to you, okay?
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right, back to the phones here in Alabama. We got Jim on the line. Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, Steve. I've been listening to parts of your broadcast tonight. I haven't listened to it all, but I've got some bad news for you, buddy. The United States is done. We're over. There's no taking it back. There's not going to be any revolution in the street. This has been going on for a long time. If you remember, and I remember, and I'm older than you are, hearing back in the 90s that the 21st century was going to be the century of Asia. I remember hearing that. And it's happening, dude. Saw an article today. The smartest kids in the world right now are in schools in China.
China. Yeah, I saw that. Saw that article. It's true.
The 50
actually, that's actually, Jim, that's been for a long time. My sister went to Stanford. She got an athletic scholarship. She was pretty smart anyway to get to go there, but she got an athletic scholarship. You could actually fill all these Ivy League schools with just Chinese because they're so damn intelligent. They are so much farther ahead than our kids, but they don't do that because of affirmative action, but they surely could fill all the Ivy League schools with just Chinese, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's why they put a quota on letting them in. A few years ago, it was the South Koreans were number one, but now I guess today the Chinese are. And out of the top 50 most developed countries in the world, the United States is number 27, whereas 50 years ago, we were number one. This didn't happen just by happenstance. This happened on purpose. The New World Order, Illuminati crowd, whatever you globalists, whatever you want to call them, have been chomping away at the United States because our day in the sun is over. And it does not look pretty. I feel sorry for the millennials and Generation Z, which I've got kids in Gen Zers, and I have a Gen Xer. And it's going to be horrible, man. And there's nothing we can do about it.
I partially agree with what you're saying. I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet. I've got five grandchildren. I'm hoping that something along the way will change.
It's not going to change, buddy. And I'll tell you why.
Well, I know you say that, and I'm just not one of those people that kind of throws the towel.
Where do our leaders come from? Washington, D.C., right? And every 2 years, those criminals, 96% of them, get reelected.
Get back in, yeah.
So it's not going to be a political situation, and the people in this country are not going to go out in the streets like we did in the 60s, late 60s and 70s to stop the Vietnam War. I don't know what's
wrong with it. I'm glad you mentioned that because I've been trying to figure out what happened there. We were more organized in the 60s. And the colleges were more political, stopping war. And you get this little girl here, this little environmentalist here, Greta Thunberg here from Sweden, running around the planet, caring about the carbon imprint and everything else and the planet warming up, but could care less about these wars, these endless wars, these needless wars, which won't matter at all if we destroy ourselves. But you're right. What has happened that people are not... Well, stepping up and saying, you know what? I marched in these marches up to Salt Lake City.
I led them.
And I just don't understand. The numbers are just dwindling. I know I'm probably on some watch list. I know I'm on some travel list because I'm anti-war and that's bad. So I've got the label. I'm being watched. I'm being surveyed. I know that. But I just don't know why more people aren't like that in the 60s. They had skin in the game. They had kids going off to Vietnam. What is happening now? I don't see even the military families stepping up and saying, you know what? This is wrong. I just don't understand. What is the changing time of why people don't feel the need to step up and say, we got to stop this?
Well, it's because that we're living in fear. We live in fear all the time. Fear of losing our jobs, fear of having a heart attack. We're being controlled by fear. And as you said, you know, a lot of activists have gone to jail, been put on lists, disappeared, I suppose.
Yeah.
And people are afraid to do it.
Yeah.
They're too afraid, I think. It's that, and I believe the electromagnetic frequencies from all of our technology, fluoride in the water, whatever, GMO food, who knows? It all plays into it. I talk to a lot of people. In the last 5 years, I've had probably the opportunity to talk to 250,000 people, one-on-one.
Right.
And they just don't care. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. People just do not care.
Well, I do. Hey, Jim,
too,
I need
man.
To move on. I've got two more calls, Jim. I need to move on here, but I appreciate your call. Thank you for calling in, but I've got two more calls to get in. Got to go back out to Wisconsin and Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, you're on.
Hi.
Hello, Murr.
Are you holding the Bernays?
Do I need to?
Everybody needs to.
Is there still hope for me? Is there hope for me, Murr? Is there hope for me?
There's hope for all of us. We've got the law written on our heart.
It
has nothing to do with mankind. Tell you what, how about Tom and everyone else? Turn off that. Crash it. Get rid of it. But turn off that tube. That's the enemy's propaganda blasting at you. You have no idea how deep it penetrates and makes you it. It takes you over. No, I'm not afraid. You know, I live up here in the wild, and it's fun. You know, and I could die tonight in my sleep. So what? You know, I'm doing what I think I need to do. Let me give you some research, people. Hitler'sPeaceplans.com. No one wants to talk about 10 years of usury free. Okay? Just exchange for labor. Labor is the only value. That's why they want to kill us, because we are their creditors that they're making all this nonsense up about. Our labor is what they base all of this nonsense on. And right here on Republic Broadcasting, I get so much information and research it. Mark Anderson had Brian David Anderson with an E-N, and O-N is Mark, of course. But look up MyGodI'mHit.com and do some research there. Now, see, it didn't come to a surprise, much of a surprise to me, and it wasn't so much that Kennedy escaped and abdicated the throne. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I heard a click.
You're on.
Yeah, so people, they posted it on the front page. If you look up Encore, you'll find it was the beginning of October. They ran it twice, live once, and then with the two of them, and they... You know, after I heard Mark Anderson have Dr. Judy Wood on, and I researched her evidence, I knew he knew how to... He called himself the Truth Hound. He's a bloodhound, baby. Okay? So if he goes after the evidence, you want to know that he's really going after the truth. So what happened with Kennedy was he was removed. You need to really listen to this and look at this evidence. He was replaced. Another man was killed. And we didn't even see the videos till later, and it has one shot with blood, and then there is not. I mean, come on. But I had already found out, actually thanks to Lark, had showed me Miles Mathis covering that Kennedy was queer. He had a lifetime boyfriend. His name is Lem Billings. He had a room in the White House. He's the one that took over the estate, RFK, who did die. And that's why Bobby Jr. is a little wobbly, okay? He didn't have a real firm foundation. I mean, his family's given him a lot of grief over these vaccines and everything. So, you know, got to pray for all of us, you know, but do this research.
Yeah. I will do. Hey, Murr, I've got one call behind you. I need to get one more call in, though, but I do appreciate your call. Thank you, Murr.
Get off the TV, going back people. Thanks.
All right, going back out to Florida, my last caller. Phil, you will close out the show for me. You're on.
Quickly, three quick points. Number one, the Chinese were on bicycles 50 years ago. And most of their success is because of German engineering over there. As far as smarter than the average person, I don't really know that's the case. Now, when you hear the people trashing Kennedy, that's the Jews, and that's the Jews going to work. Because the Kennedys saw eye to eye with a lot of the things the National Socialists did. You know, Kennedy liked the idea of nationalizing the oil industry, and one of the things the Reich did was when they nationalized the banks. Okay, they took the 30-year mortgage down to 10 years, and then you paid property tax for 10 years, and then you owned the house fee simple, and it could not be taken away from you, and there was no more property tax after that. That was one of the big reasons why they had to get rid of Hitler, because if that type of lifestyle, if that type of economy started washing up on the coast of Connecticut, it would start to get people here to ask questions. Why am I paying for a house for 30 years when people over in Germany only have to pay for 10 years? You see, it was because the banks are owned by the people, not in private hands, and the banks had to stop Hitler. That's why they created him a monster. So when you hear the name Hitler, you run screaming, and you never really hear the truth about what the Germans did. So, but as far as people saying that that video of Kennedy isn't real, that video is evidence in court, okay? That is a real video of Kennedy getting killed. And when you hear people trash John Kennedy, just remember, he saw eye to eye on a lot of things the National Socialists did, and he did say that Hitler had what legends were made of. He's only guilty of turning the economy into something that worked for the people, and they cannot have that here. So thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Bill. Thank you very much. Well, that closes out our show tonight. Again, I just wanted to emphasize I've got a really good guest on my show come on Sunday, which is off the beaten path, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mr. John Clark, a former investigator journalist, will be discussing Sonny Bono, will be discussing a little bit of JFK, the assassination, giving us some information, a little bit D.B. Cooper. I'm interested in about that also. Some FBI dirt. He's been there. He's done his homework. I've talked to him several times. I think he's legit. I think he's the real deal here. And so make sure you tune into my program on Sunday. It's Off the Beaten Path, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So thank you for being here. I'm pleased that John allowed me to have an extra day this week because I had so much information I did not get out last Sunday. And thankful for that. Thank you for the callers. This is your network. Please support the network all you can. Whatever you can, we do appreciate it. This is a great network compared to others. I mean, I listen to other people too, and they don't open their lines up like we do here. We've had a lot of good callers tonight. We've had some differences of opinion. We've had some agreeable opinions, and this is your network. This is your network. This is your voice. So please support the network. Go to the website. You can hit the donate button, or you can do the snail mail and send it to the network. I'm looking for my little cue on that. Where is it? Of the address. Ah, here it is. I think I'll get it in just in time. Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And or you can go to the republicbroadcasting.org website. I sent a few articles over there today. There's one about global warming. And the change, of course, it's now climate change. So that's where the fraud begins right there with the name change itself. Some good stuff on that, how they doctored the data. You should see that. You should know it. And you should share that with other people, too, because it starts with true information. We get change when we inform others. So do it slowly. Don't go too fast, you know. Sometimes you go too fast with information, it's a turnoff. You know, your conspiracy theorists. I give little bits of information here and there, and I find it's receptive, and then they get a little more curious, a little more interested, and then they read more and more. And then they come to some conclusion. You know what? Steve's not a crackpot after all. He knows what he's talking about. He gave me some good information. And I point out the hypocrisy of the people pushing the agenda for global warming or climate change and how they're willing to, you know, fly around the world in their little private jets and how they build homes on the coastal line there of the rising oceans, by the way, which are going to eliminate their home. So if that were true, they surely wouldn't build a home on the Outer Banks in North Carolina, would they now? Mr. Al Gore, that person, so... don't hear the music yet, or am I off? All right, we're done here. Thank you for tuning in. Again, by the way, just to let you know, Jeffrey Epstein's not dead. Good night, everybody.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.